Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Baseball Money is Fake on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast's Final Four Watch Party. April 1st at 7:30 p.m., the SGP will be at the Ice House in Los Angeles, so come hang out with the crew. All the info is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse.
Welcome to Baseball Money is Fake, a fantasy baseball podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am Blake Meyer, back again as always. We are live as always. I love being able to say that. I am here with my man Ryan Gilbert and our first returning guest, Nick Pollock of Pitchless. How you doing, Nick?
What is happening? Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks for coming on, Nick. Always good to talk some pitchers with you. I've used your top 100 starting pitcher list whenever I have a draft going on, but I've refrained from looking at it from today, so it's not fresh in my mind, so I still have some questions for you.
Awesome. Well, I'm touched to do that. And I also really want to say congratulations on your 50th episode. That's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah, this is been a long time coming. It's the one thing that you kind of always hoped we could get to this point. And we started this at the very end of the season last year and kind of worked our way through the dog days of the off season. And now here we are. I think it's like 9 days away from opening day or something like that. So,
oh my gosh, I can't wait.
We made it and it feels good. And we're glad to have you back. Glad to talk pitching.
Yes, thank you for bringing me back for starting pitching. So much better than any other position. So thank you.
And you're back now to talk about it with the season so close. It's not in like December, January. We're like, oh, well, what are we going to do? Now we have like, right. We know what's happening. We know injuries. So it's a good time.
Exactly. Yeah, there are a lot of things that change during spring, February, and March. There are little things that you can follow that I can actually influence heavily that we've seen in years past. And it's just so exciting. And then also in 9 days, you actually see everything you've been talking about for 6 months just explode, and you expect more, and like, oh right, it's just one game and things are gonna just take 6 months now. Okay, fine. But it's so exciting.
All right, so first of all, Nick, tell the people where they can find you. I'm sure everybody listening already knows where they can find you, but give them a little refresher.
Sure, just come to pitchless.com. we have everything you need. I do a top 100 list of every starting pitcher in the majors every Monday of the year, or of the regular season. We have all fantasy draft kit stuff, and our play pages are the best ones on the internet. We have Savant data there. We have GIFs of every pitch thrown by every pitcher, so you can actually visualize them and see them. And so much more, Discord and tools and our new PLV stat and blah, blah, blah. Just go to pitchless.com. Check it out.
Speaking of PLV, that is something that you guys just came out. I guess you didn't just come out with, but you kind of just came out with it. I need you to break it down for me. There's a lot of data there, and I absolutely love it because I love data. So can you walk me through that?
It's really simple. It's PLV stands for pitch level value. The idea is to say, was that a good pitch or a bad pitch? And it's a pitch quantifier. That's not a new idea. There's PitchingBot out there. There's also Pitching Plus. You know, SARS is a great thing. And what's really important about it is it doesn't look at the results. It just says, based on the qualities of this pitch, based on its movement, its velocity, but also its location included, we are going to say this was a good pitch thrown or a bad pitch thrown. And what's really cool about it is that you can infer a lot of new things if you actually know that part of the equation. When you think about the entire timeline of an event, a pitch is thrown, a batter does something, they make contact or they don't, but they make contact, then ball's in play at this launch angle and this exit velocity, and then there's a result, right? And if you're able to quantify the pitch itself, if it was good or bad, you can actually start quantifying the actual hitter's ability to get that contact on that pitch, right? If I throw a meatball, it's a lot easier for them to hit a home run. But if I throw 100 miles per hour up and in perfectly, it's going to be a lot harder to hit a home run. It makes all the sense in the world. But then we can infer the kind of results that we see based on, oh, man, this hitter did really well hitting good pitches. And their stat line is not the same as someone else's because of what pitches they saw. It's a really exciting thing. We're developing all these new metrics based on that, like volatility of how often they throw good pitches or bad pitches. Luck based on how many hits you should allow based on the pitches you throw versus how many you did allow. And there's so many other things that we're looking into with it, but it's a really exciting stat. And I think it creates a new narrative to talk about the game.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Cause like, I mean, most baseball fan stats coming through this were like, okay, exit velocity. I mean, you had spin rate and whatnot for pitchers, but getting this, getting it narrowed down and be like, oh, it's not just like, oh, he got away with one there. It was a bad pitch. That's you're actually like quantifying that now.
Exactly.
You're looking at how often pitchers are throwing that. If pitchers are just throwing good pitches and hitters are hitting them, like there's a whole world out there. And I think PLV is just a great start to get after it. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is now active in Massachusetts and tons of other states. Be on the lookout for the WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WynnBET Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. So many ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer, bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, for our DGENs only, if you're the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WynnBET app. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody knows a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And the SGP guys are going to be hosting a Final Four watch party at the historic Ice House in Pasadena, California, Saturday, April 1st at 7:30 p.m. Get all the details at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse. Looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan at Stadium Swim and watch the biggest golf tournament in the world? You can win a 3-night stay at Circa Las Vegas to hang with the guys. The contest is completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfparty. And if you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on a room using promo code SGP15.
Yeah, thanks. We're really excited about it. It's there's so much to uncover with it. And you have to just get like the seed right now, PLV. Actually, the number of PLV doesn't really matter too much. It's about the stats we use, we create using PLV that I think are really going to be interesting. Like you could do home run rates utilizing PLV as opposed to home over fly ball rate, right? That's saying, look, he threw these pitches and our model says that he should have this many home runs instead. That actually showcases if they're home run prone or not, instead of the unsticky home run before fly ball rate right now, which is, I think, one of the least sticky stats that we utilize year to year. But utilizing PLV, we can clear that up a bit. I mean, there's so much opportunity with it. We're just starting it, but we were at a point where we said, you know what, here you go, world. Here is this thing. Let's start having that conversation.
Is there anybody that PLV has made you fall more in love with since you kind of released released the beast onto the world?
A little bit. I mean, it verifies everything that we're talking about with Spencer Strider and Christian Javier. Like, their fastballs are just super high PLV marks. Drew Rasmussen is a PLV darling. And that surprised me a little bit. But I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And also validates my concerns about Tristan McKenzie, which was very, very nice to see. This is why I love PLV so much, because it just confirms all the things I feel already. But those are the major ones, honestly. It has raised some eyebrows here and there, but considering that PLV as its own isn't actually the best stat to use, right? It's about the applications that we have from it. For example, Eno Saris' stuff plus, if you're looking at just overall season, way stickier year to year, because it's just stuff, and his location plus is not as sticky, right? It takes a lot longer to stabilize. So ours is closer to location plus because we use location in it. And because of that, it's not the greatest year to year metric. But again, that is not the idea for it. That is not the goal we're trying to achieve, just an overall season number. We're trying to actually look at the events that happen and say, like, well, was this a deserved event, or was this something that didn't go their way?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm throwing a bit of a curveball here. It wasn't in the show notes, but okay. But yesterday we talked about how we draft, like, injured players. So, like, mm-hmm. What is your take on that with, like, Tyler Glasnow, Carlos Rodon, sure. Like those type of players?
It depends.
How far do they fall for you?
Right. It's always a nuanced thing. I think at 12 teamers, I lean on actually going for healthy injured players. What I mean by that is, I know it's not necessarily what you're asking, but guys that are dinged in the ranks because we don't expect as many innings. But then we realize that they're pitching in April, and every single day that passes and they're healthy is a lower and lower injury risk, right? I find myself closer to the drafts actually leaning in on that. In the case of Glasnow, I think Glasnow is, even when he does return, it's going to be weird with the Rays coming back too. And generally with someone like him who's out for a significant portion of the year until we know anything, it's about being at a point in your draft where you're not giving up automatic value. And at that point, then you can say, cool, I'll take Glasnow, stash in the IL, and then someone off the wire isn't necessarily worse than what that 15th round pick or whatever it is that Glasnow's going at. It's not a huge gap there. I'm happy with that. With Rodon, it's weird because how injured is he? We don't know yet. It's blowing my mind. So I've steered away from it for mm-hmm. the most part, just because there's too much haze in there. Or he's going too early in it. But Joe Musgrove, I'm actually drafting a lot because I don't think he's out for too long, and it's not a arm injury. And oh my gosh, I just got sniped in my pick for the pitcherless staff league. And I am infuriated. Lance Lynn was actually the guy. Lance Lynn. And I was so excited, and I'm so sad. Well, I will figure this out, but that's all right. I'll live on, I guess. Oh man, it was all coming together. Oh, I'm devastated.
Speaking of Lance Lynn, how about his teammate Lucas Giolito? I want to ask you about him. What version of Lucas Giolito are we going to get this year? Are we going to get like the one, or the one that's probably not rosterable? Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be much better. I the way I see it is that last year Giolito had an abdominal issue. He was sidelined for 2 weeks after opening day, and he actually has quotes saying that he never felt the same after. And then he tried to do too much by the end of the year, felt this embarrassment and this pressure and all of that. And by the end of the season, I mean, I saw him throw an 89 mile per hour fastball, and I just went, what is going on? That wasn't sitting. It just, you know, that was the low. But in no world should Lucas Giolito be ever throwing an 89 mile per hour fastball. My understanding is that, all right, he's going to do what he did back in 2018, really figure this out and reset everything. And what I've seen in the spring is actually a much, much better version of Lucas Giolito. I think I saw him sitting 92, 93, which is way better than 91, 92. It's a big difference for him, but in good command of his secondaries. And I actually am leaning in favor of Lucas Giolito being a top 25, top 30 pitcher this year. And I have him, I think, at 37 in my ranks right now, because obviously that's not guaranteed that he's that good for the year. But
yeah,
if I'm a betting man, I'm saying, yeah, Lucas Giolito is going to be a very good fantasy player this year. And top, you know, let's say it's above a 25% strikeout rate. It's just a question of the ERA and the whip at that point. And there's a chance he goes 3-5 ERA with a 1.15 whip. Absolutely. So I'm leaning in favor of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. He's done that before. He did that consistently for the White Sox. And the great point you brought up with his injury. He clearly just pitched through it and just was not himself there. So a great bounce back candidate. Probably someone I'm going to be looking at in that range to add a few pitchers there. I like quite a few pitchers in that range. Logan Webb, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, down to Giolito. I think that's a solid range where I'm going to be targeting a few different starters.
I have all kinds of questions to ask you, and I'm trying not to be scatterbrained because I'm looking stuff up as we go, too. I'm a Mariners fan. I don't hide that very well. How good is – so I got two questions. First of all, how good is George Kirby's new two-seamer?
Whatever. Keep going.
And then
it's really hard to, there have been very rare situations that I've been hyped about a two-seamer. It makes sense for George Kirby, but that's not the thing that George Kirby needs. His four-seamer is already destroying right-handers. He doesn't need another tool on the same velocity band against right-handers. He needs a breaking ball to destroy right-handers. And I have not seen it yet this spring of his slider improving as much as I want it to, or his curveball. Now, against left-handers, a sinker is not what he needs. You throw sinkers to the same-handed batters, right? That starts inside corner and then lands off the plate. If you want to do front hip, fine. There are very few guys in the majors I believe can do that with any sort of consistency. Aaron Nola, what is up? But George Kirby needs to develop the secondary stuff. And that's going to be his ability. Like, if he does that, that's the ascension of George Kirby. It needs to be a slider being a legitimate slider, or the curveball being a legitimate curveball. Because a four-seamer is good enough right now. I mean, we've seen it. What was it? 15% swing strike rate last year? 16%? It was really good. But he just doesn't have the secondary stuff to back it up yet. Second question.
Okay. And then second would be Robbie Ray. He added a splitter, I believe it was.
Yeah.
I mean, the man's got 21 strikeouts in 12 innings. I'm not going to read too much into spring training stats. I know we had
spring training stats don't matter, Blake.
They do. They still matter. Stop. Anyone who says that is just lying to you. I mean, they're saying as if, like, oh, you just look at the ERA and stuff. But we've gone. I don't look at ERA in season. I don't do that. I actually just see, like, what are they doing? And that is the same.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's less weight than in season, but there are still things we can infer. And with Robbie Ray, his velocity is up, which is good. I remember this time last year, he was like at 92. He's at 93 right now. Sure, it's not the 94 necessarily that it was in Toronto, but he's throwing harder, and that's very good. Hopefully the splitter is legit. The sinker, by the way, PLV hates the sinker, and it makes perfect sense. Remember what I just told you about, like, where you throw sinkers? You don't throw them to opposite hand batters away, right? Well, that's what Robbie Ray does, and it makes no sense to me. It was a horribly rated PLV. But the thing about it was that it was different than the four seamer. That's the only reason why Robbie Ray had success throwing that sinker was because it was a different look than the four seamer, and it threw them off a little bit. So the splitter could replace that sinker, and that'd be cool with me. But honestly, the fact that he's throwing harder and doing really well up in the zone with four seamers is everything I need to know. I'd be like, yep, Robbie Ray. I've got him twice now. Right? I got him in my labor draft with USA Today, and I got him with in TGFBI as well. He went up to about $19 in tout, which I was really upset about. And so I didn't get him there. I'm sorry. But he went the same as my Yu Darvish. And I'm like, that's not right. You were supposed to, Robbie Ray's getting pushed down by everybody like 2 months ago. And I've been pushing him back up, and now he's like, now I have him at like 24 or something, and I feel like the industry does now too. And I'm like, this is frustrating.
Yeah, everyone had Ray. I think the first thing when I thought about Ray was, like, you know, that home run to Joe Jordan he gave up in that
stupid.
In that
series. Okay, wait, hold on.
That was stupid usage.
Hold on. I was in this room watching this this at bat, and I feel like all of America outside of Texas was rooting for Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, big situation, and then they bring in Robbie Ray against Yordan. And all I'm thinking, this makes sense because Robbie Ray's slider is fantastic and would do well against a lefty. So Yordan goes, and first pitch is a fastball that is fouled back by Alvarez, or maybe off to the left. And if you see that, anytime you see a batter first pitch swinging, foul off a fastball that isn't like weak off the end of the bat or something like that, it means they're on it. It means that they're timed with your heater. They're ready to attack it. And it's just a small, very minimal adjustment from there to do something with it. So all I'm screaming at the TV is I see the catcher start going inside. I'm shouting for as if they could hear me to not throw this pitch. And he throws another sinker. And this time it's inside. And Yordan just turns on it. And I literally just get out and walk out of my room out of frustration. And I remember, I think I had some conversation about, like, why did they throw this? And my understanding is, like, you know, through the whatever, the grapevine, that the Mariners were like, Yordan Alvarez's weakness is sinkers inside. And so when we attack him as from lefties, so lefties, sinkers inside, Alvarez is worse. And the second someone told me that, I said, but it's Robbie Ray's sinker inside, which is terrible. Like, I don't get it. He doesn't do that. And he is like, I am the biggest person, you know, everyone says like analytics or whatever, like, oh God, analytics are destroying it. You know, I hate when people say that as if like weaponizing the word analytics. No, it's just really good information. I'm the first person to tell you we should be using this information. But this is what, this is the time when people get upset at analytics because it tells them to do things that are just broad and gets rid of all the nuance of the actual situation. Mm-hmm. It's Alvarez. It's Robbie Ray. Hi. And he just saw a fastball that he fouled off. Like, it's right there. And that destroyed me. I'm sorry. You just brought out all of that.
Well, I hope that was cathartic, at least for you, talking about it, if not for Blake listening, to know that someone else with pitching expertise also thought that. But, yeah, that people think about that and forget how good Robbie Ray is. I mean, he won the Cy Young with Toronto in 2021. Career Ks per nine of 11. He has the stuff, and I'm going to be targeting him definitely.
He had kind of a weird year last year. He started out the year being like a two-pitch pitcher for whatever reason for quite a while, if I remember correctly, and it was not very effective. Mariners fans were not – I mean, by Mariners fans, I mean me – were not the biggest fan of it. So seeing him – doing this well in spring training, it gets me a little excited, but I'm also a little hesitant just because I'm like, I know how he was last year. But adding the new pitch, I mean, 21 strikeouts and 12 innings even in spring is nice.
Right. Yeah, it's a different guy. I mean, remember last year, Robbie Ray had lowered velocity, and then it was just fastball slider. I mean, it was fastball slider in 2021 as well with the Jays. He had a curveball as well. But I mean, the curveball's always been this like weird, like, oh, hi, I'm a curveball. I'm like, okay, what's up? Just passing through. And so he stopped throwing it for some reason. I mean, I understand why. But really, I mean, the ticket of success for Robbie Ray has always been fastballs around 93, 94 inside the zone and up. And as long as he's doing that, then the slider falls underneath that and everything is great. He was having some trouble and introduced this terrible sinker, but for whatever reason, that worked. Too, and it's nice to see that, okay, maybe that sinker's going away and it's a splitter too for now for Robbie Ray. So I'm a fan of it. I think also for fantasy purposes, pitching for the Mariners is a good thing, especially when you can go six innings, you can get a lot of wins there. And he's essentially a lock for 200 strikeouts, which is very rare outside of the top 15 starters. So you get wins and strikeouts with him. It's just a question of the whip and the ERA.
Yeah, and I know NFBC has him going 33rd overall for the month of March currently. So you said you have him, what, 24?
Yeah, I'm probably going to move him. I'm probably going to move him about 24, 25 on SPs. I mean, keep in mind that I imagine that includes relievers, maybe not. It's so annoying.
You're right.
It's so annoying on NFBC that they do that. That's what I expect him to be at around 25 or so. Framber Valdez, George Kirby, right around there.
Ooh, I'm glad you said Framber Valdez because there's another question that I have that I'll ask after Ryan. Go ahead, Ryan.
No, go ahead. I was going off topic.
Oh, I was going to say, going into this year, who do you like more, Christian Javier or Framber Valdez?
Oh, come on. That's not even close to me.
I think I know Christian who the Javier. Answer is, but I want you to
it's,
say
it. It's tough. Yeah. I mean, he's phenomenal. I will say he was also two ticks down after the WBC, but it's probably like WBC fatigue for a second. But no, his fastball is like a top five fastball in the majors. And his slider is getting better. And now he's going to go for like 170, 180 innings. And he's going to hold the strikeout rate well above 30%. And he's still one of the harder guys to get hard contact off of in the majors. His hard contact rate is like 95th percentile or something crazy like that. Jeez. And it's because he's just super, everyone just pops up his fastballs. Like they cannot barrel them. And then the slider is really good inside the zone. It's just, all right, it's Christian Javier. Really good defense behind him. Winning ball club. And Framber, I understand everyone's like, oh, volume, volume, volume. And I get it. That's fine. But it was a 116 whip. And it was a peak season, I feel, for Framber Valdez last year. Mm. Right? And that was a 116 whip. Shift is not going to be as dramatic as I think as everyone is expecting it to be. But it's still going to hurt Framber. So if you're drafting Framber Valdez, you can't expect better than a 116 whip. And more likely scenarios, it's going to be like a 120 whip. Like, that's not great. I don't want that as my SP2. I want someone that could be like a 110, 105. Give me that ceiling, right? Christian Javier could do that. So I think that's the most overlooked part about Framber Valdez. And I would much rather have Christian Javier.
We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is heating up for March Madness. College Pick'em is a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is busted after the opening weekend. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Also, Valdez pitched much more in the playoffs than Javier did. So that's, you know, could be more wear and tear on his arm, and he has the better stuff. So, yeah, I mean, Javier is quite above Valdez on the ADP. So it does make sense that he's up there.
I mean, it's gone crazy with Javier in the ADP. I was like, oh man, I can't wait to get seventh round Christian Javier. I was like, why get Spencer Strider when you can get him four rounds later? And now it's like, literally, I went to. This is something cracks me up every time I say it. I went to the NFBC last Friday here in New York, which was in a, they were doing drafts in the back room of a Dave and Buster's in Times Square. And I saw the draft board and I saw Christian Javier went the end of the third round of NFBC.
Oh,
that's within the first 45 picks. And I couldn't believe it.
Damn.
I mean, this is where we're at with it. I mean, it was also a scenario where It was Rob Pietro, and I talked to him about it. It made all the sense. He's like, look, I would normally take Luis Castillo there, but I have a lot of Luis Castillos, and I have to diversify in BC. And I get that. Absolutely. I'm just upset that, like, that's where the market is, that if he wanted him, he had to get him there instead of the fourth round or the fifth even, you know? It's so, yeah, all the fun of that is out the window at this point.
Yeah, so I remember you saying you don't draft pitchers early very often, and that's probably a strategy I'm going to use coming into my draft on Saturday. I hope no one's listening to that, possibly my brother, but that's about it. So when do you start taking pitchers, and like, who are the guys this year you're targeting to be like your top two or three aces if you're not going for those top 15 pitchers?
So I have something I call the aces of dubs, like the ace of clubs, where they're like 22 guys or so. We lost Musgrove and Glasnow from this, and Rodon. But those are the ones that I feel like are legitimate aces, right? Like your Bieber and Fried and Javier and Gausman and Arias, I should say, and Alec Manoah and Darvish are at the end of that. Zach Gallen. And I aim to have at least one, if not two, of those. And that means generally around the fifth and sixth rounds, I'll go for it. I'm in the Pitcherless Legacy League right now. This is, I think, to me, is the most, I don't know, industry 12-teamer snake draft I'm in every year. That's a really good indication of what, you know, of what ADP is at. So I had to take Gausman in the middle of the fifth round. And the middle of the sixth, I could have taken Gallen. He was the only one left of the guys I just listed, and I elected not to. I think I'm actually in a situation right now. I took Joe Musgrove, for example, in the middle of the eighth, because I felt I need to survive like 2-3 weeks, and then I have an ace of dubs, right? That was my way of getting it without actually having to spend the sixth, seventh round or whatever.
There you go.
But that means I need to survive the next 2 weeks. It's a head-to-head league, so I got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Then generally, you know, I am like eighth, ninth, 10th round trying to get starters. I didn't again in this one because I'm kind of pushing it as much as I can. I've found myself in multiple years in this league easier than I would think to find the starting pitching rotation that I would want. So I'm giving it a shot right now. I just got sniped on Lynn though. Lance Lynn was going to be so good in the 10th round. Oh, I was... beautiful. I waited hours for that pick, and it just kicked me in the stomach. It's fine. So I'll figure it out. Pivoted to Sean Murphy, whatever. But I mean, that's how I'm going to do this. I mean, I'm probably the next three picks are going to be starting pitchers. I don't know who, but they're going to be starting pitchers. They might be like your Giolito, your Luzardo, and Pablo Lopez, and Joe Ryan, and maybe I'll get Logan Gilbert in there if he falls another round, and so on and so forth. That's kind of what I'm figuring to do in this one. But in your standard, like, you know, following Fantasy Pros ADP, that kind of stuff, yeah, you'll probably be able to get like Gausman and then Darvish in the fifth and sixth, right? I love that every time. Robbie Ray is normally not going to the beginning of the sixth round like he did in this one. So you can probably get him in the eighth round, and like, that's great. And there you go. You have three studs now, you know? There are better guys to target. I would go hitting the first four rounds because I was able to get Betts at second base, Austin Riley, Matt Olson. And those are positions that I feel are have a massive gap in value between the top end and the middle end. And then Kyle Schwarber got in there because I just can't help myself. and then the seventh round is where you get your shortstop because you have this hot spot of like Tim Anderson, O'Neill Cruz, Dansby Swanson, Willy Adames, Sander Bogaerts. Like one of those, you generally can get in the seventh. If not, then you settle for Correa in like the eighth or ninth round. That's just how you do it, in my view. Mm-hmm. So that there you go. I know it's more than you asked for, but I feel like that would help a lot of people.
No, that's perfect. I have the second pick. I've done a few mock drafts, just the automatic ones on Fantasy Pros. But I've gone, I mean, straight hitting more than the first four rounds. I think I went the first seven or eight rounds just filling up my outfield, getting first base, third base, like you said. If I can get a shortstop early, great. If not, wait for one of those.
You don't want to get a shortstop early because that will mess up the seventh round.
Yeah, very true. And I like loading up on like those after ace pitchers that have ace potential. And like if you take four or five of them and some of them, you know, have injury risk or bounce back risk, it's fine because
as you said before, you can just drop them and move on, because that's what I'm going for. I think this year is just more volume in pitching rather than going for the top guys.
Yeah, there are a lot of really good ones. I'm seeing like the top 51. So like ending with Hunter Brown, I might make Kodai Senga 52 in there too, because it's such a good schedule to start the year. But there are like a lot of guys I feel like, oh yeah, I'm really happy I have them. Drew Rasmussen, Jeffrey Springsteen, both guys are going to help out a ton. That's really good. I feel great having those guys, right? There are a good amount of them, and you can feel great with that staff. And then there's so many on the other side that have so much upside and excitement, like Matthew Boyd. I'm a Boyd boy, of course, but he's looking like his older self. Hayden Wesneski, Jared Schuster with Atlanta is looking phenomenal as the number five there. And you want to pitch for Atlanta. All right. You get wins. You got a great defense. You want to pitch for Atlanta. And also you have Kyle Wright, whose shoulder's busted. He had a cortisone shot a couple weeks ago. I was already hesitant on Kyle Wright, and now it's even more so. So I feel like the Atlanta rotation is going to need Jared Schuster through the year. Them and Dylan Dodd. So, I mean, there's so much opportunity, I think, that pitching development's gotten better and better. And there's so much more opportunity than there used to be. So you don't need to go and get the top end guy, I don't think.
Is there a spot for Mike Soroka when he comes back in that rotation?
There will be. Like, it will. I think Michael Soroka, I mean, it's interesting because like that, this is a case where they can ease in Michael Soroka however they want. You know, they don't need to rush him in, because I believe in Jared Schuster or Dylan Dodd, whichever one they actually go with. I'm like 95% sure it's going to be Schuster. But yeah, I mean, you're going to see someone get hurt. I'm going to tell you right now, somebody in that rotation. I mean, Charlie Morton does not have the cleanest bill of health across his career. Spencer Strider was on the IL last year. That gets forgotten about a little bit. You have, of course, as I mentioned, Kyle Wright. So yeah, there's something there is going to happen.
Schuster's going 574 on NFBC right now. That's pretty.
Yeah, it's only been the past like week or two. Like the week past week or two, we didn't really believe it until Ian Anderson and Bryce Elder got optioned, and then we thought, oh, they're actually going to do this. And then we got really excited.
Yeah. He was picked 271 today. You see his chart there. There you go. It's just going up. There's a bunch of.
I took him $1 in out my 15 team mixed auction draft. $1. Super thrilled. About
there we go.
He wasn't even on my radar. I'm glad you mentioned him there. So I'm gonna keep him for my late round sleepers.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, so I was gonna ask you. I swear I'm here. My brain just clicks in randomly. So I was going to ask you some guys that you think could kind of come out of nowhere this year. Schuster seems like a guy that could potentially kind of come out of nowhere. Is there any more relevant names you think could take a big step up into becoming a top end fantasy option this year?
I mean, Reed Detmers, I've been talking about before the increased velocity, everybody. Okay. Before everybody started going crazy in Reed Detmers, I was there. Who do you think you are? I am. Reed Detmers is throwing 94, 90, 96 now, as opposed to the 93 that he sat last year, which is a huge deal because he fixed his slider in the second half of last year, went to the minors, had a much better one. It was really great. And I think that for someone being 23, he'll turn 24 in July. There's so much opportunity for him just to keep growing and developing. And I'm so very much in on Reed Detmers. I'm not going to do the other easy ones like Hunter Brown. Okay. Everyone likes Hunter Brown. All right. That's fine. Or like Nick Lodolo. I like going after as I mentioned before, like Hayden Wesneski's breaker is really, really good. Sean Manaea is throwing 94 right now, apparently, as opposed to like the 91, 92 that he has in the past. Alex Cobb. It's funny. I was so out on Alex Cobb. Could not care. Everyone's like, oh, but, XERA and Sierra was so much worse. And he got so unlucky. I'm like, sure, he did. But he also, actually, according to PLV, we have one of our stats. It's called hit luck. And not too many extra hits. You know, like Gausman had like 40 plus extra hits. Like,
jeez.
Cobb was like, okay, like 7. You know, he deserved some of his failures. But Alex Cobb is now throwing a slider. and it's apparently a good one. And if he has a slider that he throws for strikes now, that changes his entire approach. He had sinkers that were going for called strikes, and his splitter, and then a curveball he would only throw in like 0-0 counts. And that's not much of depth, but a slider can come in there to get to that splitter in two strike counts now. That changes the whole dynamic. So that actually gets me a little bit more interesting. It's funny because like Alex Cobb is like the pendulum keeps swinging on him. You know, we were all out on him and then in because of the luck, but then we went back out because it was just a too easy of an argument kind of thing, like I'm talking about. But now it's like, we're going back. Let's get back in. I mean, there are a lot of them. Oh, Steven Matz gets overlooked, even though he's productive when he does pitch. He only pitched 48 innings last year, but it was really just one bad game. Garrett Whitlock is a really interesting one. When he does, he's going to miss the first turn of the rotation, but when he does come back, there's things to like inside of that. And don't forget Kenta Maeda, who has always been a 25% plus strikeout rate guy, and his velocity is back to normal at the moment. So I'm very curious what happens there.
What are your thoughts on Kenta Maeda? Noah Syndergaard, his velocity seems to be up. I watched him firsthand with the Phillies last year. He wasn't great. It's up at 94, but I know the Dodgers do weird things with pitchers, so I just wanted to get your take.
I know, but yeah, until he's getting legitimate slider whiffs. I mean, this is the funniest thing about Syndergaard to me. When he was throwing like 96, 97 and had a legitimate slider that was missing bats, his strikeout rate was like 23%. You know, there was that one year when he had like a 28% rate, but no, recently, like most recently with the Mets, when he was doing that stuff, it was 23%. And that's what we're chasing essentially, but he has lower velocity now. It just doesn't add up to me. I'm not saying that he's necessarily going to be an unproductive fantasy player, but the ceiling that we have when we think of Thor is not present anymore.
Yeah, he's down there with like Manaea, who I like, and you mentioned
Manaea is more intrigued to me.
Yeah, I like his velocity being up.
Yes.
Can somebody make me like Sean Manaea, because I don't like him. Like he's one of those guys that everybody seems to hype up going into the season. He hurt me a couple times, but you know,
I know, but like, make me like him. Be a goldfish, Blake. All right.
Okay.
Because like this is a different player now. If he's throwing 94, we haven't seen Sean Manaea at 94, right? We've seen him at 91, you know, 92. Like him at 94 is a different pitcher. Now, I do understand that Sean Manaea's consistency hasn't always been, you know, it's not the best thing on his resume, but I still think him throwing 94, it's a good sinker already, and that just gets better, would make his slider and changeup better as well. So you should like him just for that reason.
You know what? You got me. Because, I mean, last year sucked, but 2021, he's pretty good.
That was easy.
ERA under 4. But, yeah, you know, you're very persuasive. So the last question I have, it's kind of throwing you a curveball. I know Ryan threw you one earlier. So I know on Twitter you kind of tweet out the things every day that you're looking for that day in spring.
Yeah.
This is going to come out tomorrow, like on Apple and Spotify and all that. Do you already have you're what I'm looking for tomorrow? Like,
no. So what I do, I mean, in the morning, I just, I check out MLB's page for the games and see which ones are on TV. And then I see what the starting pitcher is. And then I make that tweet. Unfortunately I don't have that for you, but I mean, I can take a look right now. Is there someone that let's see tomorrow. You're going to see Jeffrey Springs against Taiwan Walker. So I'm curious with Springs, if he can take down lefties. He had a really good start last time out, but he only faced one lefty batter, and it was Sam Hilliard twice, and the second time he allowed a single. It was on a bad slider down the middle. I'm like, this is your problem. That's right there. Okay. Clark Schmidt is going tomorrow. I tried to reach out to him. I'll try again to see if it's real, because he threw 40% sliders in his last or sweepers in his last start. He had a lot of success with it. And I'm like, that's the Ohtani method. Ooh. And like, I want you to do that again. So I'm going to be really curious to see that stick. It's not on TV though, which is really stupid, but I think we're going to get Statcast data on that. So that's all good with me. Anyone else of interest? Not really. I mean, James Caprillion's going. He didn't walk anybody last time, finally, which is great. He's got a good slider and fastball. It's just about not walking guys. So if he does that well, that's cool. Eovaldi is going. Hopefully the velocity is still at 96. Detmers is going on TV. Let's go.
Hey.
Let's go. Joe Ryan, if his sweeper is really good, that'd be fantastic because it's really hasn't shown much lately. But yeah, that's all I'm really seeing. I mean, Trevor Rogers is trying to recover from his disaster last weekend, and he should be fine. It should be all right. There's a sneak preview.
What, I love it. Thank you. I appreciate that. With that being said, Nick, thank you for coming on again. It is awesome. You're our first returning guest on the podcast. So I appreciate you coming back on and hanging out for a little bit.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. My God, was that already 40 minutes? Jeez. I did not feel like that in the slightest. And by the way, if you made it this long, that means you actually care about the show, which is fantastic because you should. And what do people do when they care about a show? They go and rate and review on iTunes. So go ahead and do that. Baseball Money is Fake. It's very easy to do. It goes a long way for everybody here. So go do that for these guys.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. And you guys can go find Nick on Twitter at PitcherList. Aren't you on Twitch too?
I am on Twitch every weekday morning at 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Monday through Friday Eastern time. So come hang out. I answer all fantasy questions I get. Absolutely.
Yes, free. And you can find me on Twitter at Buhlake, BUHHLOCKAYE.
And you can follow me on Twitter at RGilbertSOP.
And we'll catch you guys next time.